My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You wake up, Evan, you sound a little bit groggy.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Not this morning, Philmo. I got 17 cups of coffee in me. I am caffeinated. I am rejuvenated. And I am elated because NFL football is here, Dan DeVone.
It is.
We are underway.
College football is here.
By the way, yes, it is, yeah. The lovely Cece is currently locked into Texas and Michigan.
It's hilarious. She's never watched a collegiate football game, I think, in her life.
So this is why I do believe at the end of the day, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift can't make it. It is, in my opinion, very difficult to have both parties of a relationship be equally enthused about one thing. You need your own. You need the separation. You need your difference. And I don't know the intricacies of their relationship, nor do I really care that much. But in the end, if Taylor Swift has become a football fan, they are doomed. They are doomed.
Remember our buddy Chucky? Lives in Chicago now. Chuck Walter is a sportscaster
at CBS. Course.
So he and I stay in touch. You know, he married his wife as a sportscaster.
Yeah,
as well.
I know.
And he was telling me one day they got in this huge fight over Zion Williamson where doors were being slammed. I'm like, yeah, I don't need that when I go home. The beauty of Cece is that she's an artist. She has a creative side of things. And, like, you know, I'll be watching the Super Bowl and she'll pop her head and, like, ooh, who's playing? And then goes and does her thing. Like I don't need someone sitting there, like, sweating over every play and, like, pass me your, give me some chips. Are we out of beer? Like, I don't need that.
In that tone? No, the other part of it, too, is I want someone to kind of, you know, push my limits. Like, I want someone to challenge my creative thinking, you know, whether it's about something outside of the world of sports, you know, maybe it's someone that loves to be outdoors. There are things, there are parts of me, Dan, that I don't get to really dig and tap into, that I get to unlock just because I'm in this studio for what feels like 38 hours a week. And I need to get out of that. And it sucks because the next 6 months, I'm going to be wrapped up. There's football, then the Warriors are coming up beginning of October. If you're a big college football fan, that's for you. I got some broadcasts going on, which I very much enjoy, but I don't have any time for myself. So if I'm with someone, I don't want to think about sports. I just don't.
Did you pick up On the Edge yet, the book that I referred to you?
No, I'm still working through, oh gosh, the name of the book is escaping me, but it's Oh, I think I was telling you about this. So Lenny Waters III is from
Is this the Indian tribe?
Yeah, yeah, from a small Native American tribe in Oklahoma, I believe. And so I was just doing some research on the tribe because it's not very well known. And in fact, I think there's only a handful of native speakers that still speak the original language left in this world. But because of that, the house made of Don. So N. Scott Momade is a famous author from that specific tribe. And so I was looking up, right, who's, some famous people. And his Pulitzer Prize-winning book in 1967, House Made of Don, popped up. And so I decided I would read that. But your book is on the list. It's in the queue.
See, this is why you're going to succeed, young fella. As your mentor in the sportscasting world, why I've anointed you as the next is because you have a frame of reference, which is why if you were just exclusively sports, which is why Bob Costas is as effective as he is, or if you really listen to the Al Michaels of the world, these are people that have interest outside of sports. But what it does is that it gives them this sort of base when it comes to sports broadcasting, is that they're able to give you, whether it's stories or able to give you something outside of the context of just what it is that we're watching. And it's that sense of security and intelligence as to why people feel secure watching or listening to some of the true icons in the industry.
Well, that's why I always appreciate listening to specific hosts, and I love working with you because it's not your mind wandering, but it's natural interest in different things that are related to sports, but also might be off the beaten path, and then again challenge you to think, to broaden your horizons. By the way, N. Scott Momade, a member of the Kiowa tribe, that is where Lindy Waters III is from. So hopefully he gets on the court this year for the Warriors. But we were also talking about the San Francisco 49ers and the beginning of their season on Monday night. Before I give you my answer, Dan, on who's going to win that football game, I want to get out to Vallejo and bring on Skills, the 95-7 the game. What's going on, Skills? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Evan? I'm doing good, man. What's up, Dan? Hopefully you're doing good, too. I just wanted to talk about, real quick, I have an issue with the Jets being forced, as bad as they've been for all these years, every year, 13 years is it without being in the playoffs, they got to play the defending NFC champion for the season opener. I mean, I don't feel bad for them, don't get me wrong, but it's just like, that just seems like you're setting them up to already get off to another bad start if you're the league. If I'm the Jets, it's like, if you're in a car, your car breaks down, you're going to call the tow truck driver. Tow truck driver's not going to slash your front two tires and just make it worse for you, but that's neither here nor there. Mm. I also want to give thanks to Brandon Ayuk finally getting on board tonight, him and John Lynch, everybody working out their deal. Although from a personal standpoint, I'm disappointed because I had written a song about Brandon Ayuk's holdout that I never got to perform anywhere. But as a 49ers fan, I am pleased to have him back in the fold.
Brother.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, there's a forum in front of
Let's go. Let's hear it.
If you'd like to share it, no pressure.
No ifs about it. I want to hear it.
I'll share it. It's a little out of date, and I haven't rehearsed it in a couple of weeks. But if you want to hear it, I'll bust it out.
Hey, Skills, call in next Saturday. We'll give you a week to get things ready, tighten up the legs.
Right now.
Boy, is he? He said he needed a little bit of time.
No, we don't have any time. We go now, all right? Skills, can you go a cappella right now?
Don't let Devon peer pressure you.
Devon's my guy. You're my guy too. I'll do it for you guys.
Do you need any? Do you need any musical accompaniment?
Into bed.
No, I'm a bus star right now. Here we go.
Let's go.
1, 2, 3. We've been talking about Mr. Brandon Ayuk early on. Showed some clout with his hurdles and jukes. Doghouse got out, though with Warner through Dukes. Year 4, erased doubt, proved his game was no fluke. Training camp 24, Brandon's after a race. He says he's worth more than his current deal pays. He's part of Niners core. They'll make sure that he stays if they want to outscore other teams on Sundays. Now starting to see Pittsburgh's willing to pay. 49ers have a team that could go all the way. I swear I will scream if Ayuk leaves the Bay. This is like a bad dream. John Lynch saved the day. Word.
Hey, well done, Skills. I don't know, you're talking about rap when you put that name in front of us. That was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
He's a really
good time to be together one day.
Oh, just one day, just off the cuff,
John. Job Skills. And my man here wants to give you a week. It's called freestyling, Ev. You need to get out of the house. Put down the book.
Well, no, I mean, sometimes, I get stage fright, Dan, okay? Not when you're around. You make me feel comfortable, but I get stage fright. So, Skills, again, thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate that.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Not bad.
Dude, there's a couple bars in there, Kenny. Kung Fu Kenny.
I even wrote on the YouTube chat, bars.
That was really good.
That was really good.
All right, who?
Josh Gills?
Hold on. No. Anybody that calls in is willing to bust a rhyme on Saturday morning without a cup of coffee or at least six in them, they have my vote of confidence. The Skills is one of our loyal listeners, a P1, and to say that it's not really good, that lets me know one of two things. Number one, you haven't listened to a rap song in a while. Number two, well, it mainly just had to do with number one, and now I've lost my train of thought.
I'm saying, I'll throw it out right now. If you can freestyle a 49er rap song on the eve of the big kickoff against the New York Jets, we'll hear from you. Like right now. I don't want you to even write anything down on a napkin. Hit us up and go. And just give me something that's, I love freestyle, man. Like, well, just do you. I'm telling you, there is talent out there. Skills is good, but I've done this before. And when I solicit the people and they come in with some strong, strong takes.
But going a cappella is a little bit more difficult, especially if we laid something down for them. The other part, too, well, technically, Dan, it's December 23rd. It's not Christmas Eve. You know, you still got tomorrow. Niners play on Monday.
Why are you throwing water on freestyling and our listeners? You wanted to.
Oh, now you're turning it back on me.
Skills? You wanted to put them off for a week?
I don't know. You had a black belt in judo the way you just turned that move against me, Dan. By the way, throwing water on anybody, you threw water on yourself this morning. I swear, he's up at the crack ass of dawn every single day, jumping in the pool. No, 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 not the pool. The ocean. And
you're never going to a pool.
Why not?
Chlorine is the worst thing for you. It takes off your eyebrows.
I mean, you do realize that the bay is not exactly the most clean liquid we have around.
No, but in terms of what it does for you, again, mentally... Oh, there are a lot. By the way, there's anchovies are feeding right now in the cove. So you got a lot of sea lions. You got a lot of seals. A lot of bumping. They let you know they're there. They let you know if you're getting in their territory.
So are the sea lions the a-holes, or is that the...
Are they the what?
A-holes. Like, I don't think I can say that word on air.
Jerks.
But, yeah, jerks.
I just never heard a sea lion referred to as an a-hole. Are you talking within the animal kingdom?
No. I mean, just like their characteristic. You know, they're not very kind. I thought they were always okay. Like, there's a bunch down in La Jolla and kind of in the Pacific Beach area in San Diego, where my parents live down by the cove. And a lot of the sea lions are pretty kind down there. But if you piss them off.
What's the definition of kind? They're not taking off a limb or...
You can swim with them. Yeah, not have to worry about them rubbing up against you. They're not predators. They're not carnivores.
You know who's the most dangerous? And they're actually, by definition, predators. You'll never get this.
Orcas?
River otters.
Oh, that's right.
Did I tell you this?
Yes. Well, you made a mention of it after the show. Oh, this was so random. I don't know where your mind was at this point. We're walking out of the studio after last week's show. I was like, all right, great job, Devone. Ken, big it up. You know, bring it in. We're doing rah-rah. And Dan goes, dude, you ever heard of how dangerous river otters are?
Well, here's the thing. So my buddy... Because I just happened to see him again. So he's out in a river out. It's somewhere up in the north, which is, again, why I don't leave the city, right? Like, bridge and tunnel, you can have it. I don't leave San Francisco. I don't leave New York City. I'm a reason why I'm city-centric. He's in a river. Stay in the bay. He's in some river with his wife who's watching this, and he's swimming, and all of a sudden he sees these cute river otters. You know, those little things on their back, like, hello. And he's like, oh, how cute is this? And so he's swimming to the shore. Before you know it, there's like eight of them. And they make this menacing sound. They almost killed the guy. He showed me he got bit on numerous times in the buttocks, like all over his entire body. They got into a serious artery. He had to be rushed to emergency. So I looked it up. This is what you got to look up on YouTube. So they have these river otters. And it looks like it's somewhere in the Amazon, right? And there is this menacing leopard that's out on this tree limb that's overlooking the river. The river otters obviously don't like this. And so they're going back and forth. The river otters gather once again. I don't know if it's the same group that took
apart. Make them sound like they're hyenas.
And there's like eight of them, and they make this sound. You got to look this up on YouTube. This sound that I'm telling you keeps me up at nights, and they rush this leopard that is obviously a leopard. And this thing turns and absolutely, with tail between its legs, heads for the hills. River otters are not to be messed with. If you've take anything away from today's show.
Dude, have you ever seen on History Channel Deadliest Warrior? This is what I imagine right now when I hear Dan speaking about river otters. So Deadliest Warriors, they throw, I don't know, you know, a gladiator and a Roman soldier into a computer, and then they kind of fight each other, and then they dance it up.
Is AI generated?
It's something like that. It's, you know, CGI, but yes. What I'm imagining now is a Deadliest Warrior version of basically the animal kingdom, and I'm imagining, however, if we could take a river otter and pit it against a pack of hyenas, and then pit a pack of river otters. I don't even know if they're called a pack. Were they a school? I don't know what they're called. But if we could put them against a horde of velociraptors, you make it sound like a river otter would be okay against those big ass toe claws of a velociraptor.
By the way, a raft. That's what a group of river otters is, a raft.
A raft? Well, it sounds like they assault rafts, according to Dan DeVone.
It's not according to me. These are predatorial, absolute eating machines. They are not to be messed with. And in all seriousness, if you come across a river otter, swim the other way. Sea lions, on the other hand, sea lions can be, they're territorial. So if you see a sea lion, the thing you never want to do in the wild is that, and this is sort of instinctive, is you never want to confront anything, whether it's a bear in your Yosemite, if you're swimming and you see a sea lion, because our first instinct is to stop and look at them. Because obviously when you look at an animal, it begins to sense confrontation. That's the last thing you want to do. If you ever panic in the water, you want to get on your back and just like, first of all, because you can breathe, a lot of us hyperventilate, you want to get on your back, and then you just want to let them know, almost be submissive. Hopefully this isn't going down any sort of wrong, you know, rabbit holes.
Speaking of rabbits, what I find funny about this conversation is that you began this entire story with talking about how you don't leave the city. And so all of these experiences.
I go to the airport.
No, but I'm saying these aren't firsthand.
Do you want me to send you the Studio One at the my yoga studio at Airport One of the Harvey Milk Terminal?
No, but he can send me to Studio 54. That's a place I'm more than happy to go.
I'm telling you that I wish it predates me that I was old enough to experience Studio 54.
Dude, I would have been Travolta in that place.
He used to run in studio, him and Stallone, like back in the 70s. That was off the hook, though. It was absolutely like there's. So I was looking, I went down to Studio 54, Stephen Rubell. Are you familiar with Studio 54, obviously, in New York City?
No.
He's from Jersey.
Before my time.
But you know about
it,
right?
Yeah, of course.
And so I was just, you know, I went down this.
A lot of heinous things happening.
Oh, my God. You just talk about, like, Bianca Jagger for her 30th birthday just came in on a white horse. And, like, she was just walking around the place on a horse. Like, the Jacksons were doing, like, it was, people were doing, you know, just drugs. It was mayhem, but it was celebrity based essentially. So it was, I would have just loved to experience it for a night, you know?
Oh, for more than a night. I mean, it sounds like you get lost in that place. I don't know, like the closest, I mean, there's not those kinds of exclusive nightclubs out here that I feel like are, you know, so celebrity based. Like they have some social clubs, but
Do you do the? I'm obviously too old for this, but do you still do the nightclub thing?
Every once in a while, people want to go out. Yeah, it's
so
kind of fun.
So you'll go to a bar. So this is the way I used to roll. You would go to a bar.
Yeah.
You do your bar thing, and then at midnight, it would be at closing, right? So the bars would close at 2, and if you wanted to keep it going, you had that vibe. You're like, let's go to a club. So the club would essentially be the after hours. I would never go to a club to start the night.
No, absolutely not. It usually starts, at least for me, I prefer to start at the house. And then maybe you go down to the local watering hole.
Are you pre-functing?
Pre-gaming?
Oh, whatever.
Pre-functing?
Pre-funking.
Oh, pre-funking. Oh, no, but I do get funky on the dance floor. Then
that I want to see.
And then after that.
White boy.
What are you talking about? I'm 2% sub-Saharan. And then, of course, after midnight, then you move out, and that's where you kind of hit the club. But I'm honest, Dan, I can't shut it down anymore the way I used to be able to. You know, you used to be able to get out there until 4 or 5 a.m. I don't even know if you can do that many places in the city, but New York is a place where it just runs all night, so it's really just about how long you want to go. So something like Studio 54, you could probably be there from, you wouldn't get there at 8, but if you wanted to, you could be there from 8 until 8. You just run an entire graveyard.
Yeah, that's one of those places where typically they would say nothing good happens after 2, right? Like, just get home. Like, nothing. You're not going to elongate the party. Like, just leave while you're on top, right? You ever heard that? Like, for a guy retiring, retire while you're on top. And usually on a Friday night, like, don't try and make this happen at the club. Because once you get to 2 or 3 o'clock, then you got a beer in your hand. And you're like, what the hell am I doing? Should have gone home like hours ago. That's sort of the overall mentality. If I have a lesson to the kids listening today, when it hits the witching hour at 2 o'clock and you're having a good time, shut it down. Shut it down.
See, there are some perceived truths in life that I just don't necessarily abide by. One of those is nothing good happens after 2. That's not true. Like, there are tons of great things that happen after 2 a.m. It's just in the eye of the beholder. Also, another one that I don't abide by is ball don't lie. The ball definitely lies a lot. In fact, if you counted the amount of times that you believe that something was supposed to go your way and then didn't automatically correct itself, you would be on my side about this. Ball don't lie is a fallacy created by, well, I guess popularized probably by Rasheed Wallace, and now has been just run with to the extent that people don't even know what they're talking about when they say ball don't lie.
Well, they isolate it.
It's just a reaction.
If it's a bad call and a guy misses a free throw is when you would shout out a ball don't lie.
It's not ball don't lie here, but what about, hey, we should have won. We should have won that game.
No, that's the worst.
Okay.
That's the most overused, inaccurate phrase in sports.
Well, it's been used a lot in this town the last 5 years.
I don't want to call him out, but if he's listening, Mark Grandy, we were talking a couple of days ago, and he mentioned...
He's listening.
Not once, not twice. He says, we should have won those Super Bowls against the Chiefs. And I said, if you should have won, you would have won.
That's the worst fallacy in sports. Or it's also applicable to when someone says, well, we should have won that game because they scored 5 runs... with 2 outs. There's 27 outs in a game. Whether you score the 5 runs in the first inning or in the 9th inning, it's a loss regardless.
All right. There are a few individuals' cases where this does ring true, and everyone has them in their lives. For example, the one that automatically comes to my mind of a game that should have been won by a team would be the 2006 AFC Divisional Round game between the Chargers and the Patriots, where Marlon McCree picks off Tom Brady with about 2 minutes left, and all he has to do is fall down. However, Marlon, Mr. Hero, wannabe hero McCree, tries to run it back, fumbles. Troy Brown recovers for the Patriots. They go on to win the football game. Now, I know what you're going to say, well, there's 58 other minutes in which the Chargers could have sealed that game and could have won it, but it came down to one idiot not willing to fall down and basically put the team above himself. That is a situation where I can say that the Chargers should have won that football game.
I'll ask you
this. The Chiefs, the last 2 Super Bowls, I'm sorry,
Who did Marlon McCree play for?
Huh?
Who did he play for?
The
Chargers. What team was he on?
The Chargers.
And what team was he not on?
The Patriots.
Well, thank you, because you should have lost that game. There's no such thing. If ever I was to like open that door and maybe give some legitimacy to you should have won, is that Super Bowl with the Seahawks and Malcolm Butler and the interception where they didn't hand off.
See, I refute this because you remember very well, Dan. Were you at that game?
No.
Okay. I just figured you were.
I went to Lee Steinberg's party, though, in New York, because that was the game played in New York City.
Of course.
Lee Steinberg has the best parties if you ever go to a Super Bowl. You were at the Super Bowl last year. I think I told you, because it's in the afternoon. I can't go hard like you and drink at night.
Dude, you want to go to Studio 54, but you don't want to go to a nightclub?
Well, Studio 54 as a young man, not now, but I'm just telling you that.
Oh, I would get you to Studio 54.
You could get me in? You know people?
Yeah, of course.
So tell me, what's your take on Malcolm Butler and not handing off to Marshawn Lynch?
Well, because what preceded that, I think 2 plays before, maybe 3, was a ball that should not have been caught by Jerome Kearse. Or Javon Kearse. I don't know which one played for the Titans, which one was on the Seahawks. His last name was Kearse. Russell Wilson throws up a freaking prayer on a Sunday, which gets hit by, Jermaine Kearse. Pardon me. Thank you, Ken. Jermaine Kearse goes up for this football. It falls out of the air as he's on the ground and right into his hands. And at that point, it was like, oh my God, the football lords want the Seahawks to win this football game. And then Malcolm Butler happened. So they should have never been in that situation in the first place. Also, the Seahawks, I believe that was the same year in which they beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, came from behind in the NFC Championship game, when my boy Brian Bostic refused to catch an onside kick that would have secured Aaron Rodgers' trip to the Super Bowl. So, the Seahawks did not deserve to... Well, they should have lost that game, but they did not deserve to win that game. Didn't deserve to be there in the first place.
Gets right back to Seattle being the sleeper. When we talk about the NFC and the NFC West, all I'm saying, my peeps out in Seattle are just telling me, and they're not fair. They're not one of those that are like, you know, such homers that they believe in the Seahawks every single year. They've been out on the Seahawks the last couple of years, and there's a few people in Seattle that I still stay in touch with that are trustworthy when it comes to these sort of things, and they're like, this is legitimate. What McDonald is doing is very similar to what Pete Carroll did his first couple of years.
Well, riddle me this, Dan, because I think Seattle's a pretty progressive city, right? You know, a little more towards the left.
Little.
Geographically speaking and politically.
If you're homeless, head Pacific Northwest, young man.
Well, I think there's a lot of open areas around our neighborhood here. Yeah, they're doing okay for themselves. But why is it the 12th man?
Why?
Where are the 12th women?
Ooh.
Yeah, Devone. Riddle me that.
Don't hashtag
it's such
me,
a politically left-leaning city. They're just calling out the... Come on. There's a lot of very faithful and enthusiastic 12th women up there in Seattle who should be listening to the show and asking... This is also a reason why the sports spouses, to me, just always run into trouble. If right now, a Seattle couple is listening and looking at each other saying, you know what?
Yeah, why?
Why isn't there a 12th woman? There should be. They're there every game.
Thanks, Ev, for all the gentlemen in the Pacific Northwest sleeping on a couch tonight.
You're welcome. We're going to take a break on that note to be back on the other side with our final segment here on Saturdays on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone, we're back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I mean, you do realize that the bay is not exactly the most clean liquid we have around.
Now, back to 95.7 The Game.
Shout out to the Pacific. Dandevon swims in it every day.
Speaking of the clear liquid, I'm going to be throwing a few back tonight.
What's your poison?
I've turned into a tequila guy. I'll do tequila straight up, if it's good tequila.
Well, to me, I don't mind a mixed drink, but generally if I'm sipping on a liqueur, it's going to be just that. Like, I like pretty much just anything straight. Just a little vodka, a little tequila, a little bourbon, you know.
A little Casamigos with a lime.
See, that's what... All right, so Casamigos is... I feel like you're paying for the brand. Is it actually
totally
that good?
I am, but...
Look, I know you want to be Clooney, and you're halfway home. There's nothing wrong with it. You're both good-looking guys, and, you know, you got your entrepreneurial spirits, and, well, that was a double entendre.
There's a sense of security with Clooney. I'm trying to think of his partner's name, who is, I went to school with his...
Brad Pitt?
No, his Casamigos partner.
Oh, the business partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm honestly not too sure. It feels like, I don't know, he also started this fad that there's a bunch of celebrities now that are getting into the liquor game, and...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, Dan, it kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Well, he was the first, though, so you got to give some props. Wait, but Casamigos, if I was to give you the blindfold taste, it can hold its own.
Well, yeah, but I'm also, I don't have that high of a standard, you know. Yeah, I mean, you put anything in front of me, I'll probably throw it down the hatch. You know, it's kind of just the way it goes.
You can get a little discerning when it comes to tequila.
By the way, are you a drinker during football games? Like, do you like to have a little sum on the side?
No. No? Typically, they're in the afternoons. You know what I'll drink in the afternoons is when I'm playing golf.
I thought you said you are a day drinker.
No, I'll drink in the afternoons when I'm playing golf. Golf, because it takes the edge off. You know, golf, we have a tendency to just overthink that sport. So you just need to sort of, you know, bring yourself down a notch. But no, my go-to time with a tequila, a beer, whatever, is I'm a big happy hour guy. I'm a big dusk guy. I'm about 5 o'clock, sunset, 6 o'clock. That's life does not get any better than that.
Okay.
End of the workday. Afternoons, like, you know, you're liquored and it's 3 o'clock. And then what, you take that long nap.
And you kick your feet up and you throw on Peacock. You know.
You feel sluggish, man. I need to be alert. And watching the game as if I was doing a Manning cast.
Well, but you also go to bed at 8 p.m., so, you know, it's like your 5 o'clock happy hour would just be, I guess, the normal time that people will soak some suds.
What's the best happy hour in town? See, happy hour to me when you're in
That's
college.
Good question.
In college, happy hour was happy hour. Once you got out of college, it's like, yeah, there used to be the Royal Exchange downtown, but never had the same meaning.
I don't know. I don't really hit too many happy hours, to be honest, because I'm usually at the bar before happy hour starts because our show gets done at 2. And then, of course, if I have a broadcast later, then I just won't touch anything until after. But happy hour. Is that even a big thing in San Francisco anymore? I feel like people talk about it. It used to be. In New York, I feel like people talk about happy hour.
Well, I think they think of happy hour now just because there's price reductions. So it's like, oh, it's happy hour. We can get, you know, a couple of entrees and beers for half price. But happy hour to me used to be like a scene. It used to be in the environment. Like you would go there because the place was going off because it was happy hour. It was 5 o'clock and the place was jumping. Well, now I think people think about in terms of being frugal and saving money.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's always Operation A. But I think the one that I've been to most frequently was Schroeder's, which is actually right near Royal Exchange, I believe. They got some, you know, some bratwurst. It's a, you know, German bar slash restaurant. They got pretzels on the cheap.
So back in the day, the Royal Exchange and that whole
can get a boot of beer.
Yeah, that little corner. Used to be SRO, standing room only, because it used to be like the financial crowd would knock off at like 2 o'clock after the market closed on a Friday. And for those like myself that was not in the financial world, but you would go down there because that was just where it was. I mean, that's where you would start. And it was a huge scene. Like that was happy hour. Like guys, they're, you know, ties undone. It's about 4:30. Just absolutely stumbling.
Well, in general, it's kind of hard to get me to bars, even for sporting events during the middle of the day. Like the only time that I ever really got into watching consistently sporting events at bars would be like Premier League soccer, because I used to live in Coal Valley and Kezar Pub is a Liverpool bar. So they would have the matches on at 6:30 in the morning or 10 a.m., but I never really drank. Other people were just in there just getting plastered by the time that the roosters rise, and I could never fit. I mean, maybe I had like an Irish coffee or something like that, but that's the only sporting event, soccer or European football, that I really got into watching at bars.
Yeah, I can't do a sport.
NFL, I mean, maybe if, you know, if there's a group of people that want to go out and, like, I think it's Blackthorn in the Sunset has got a nice line of TVs, and it's never slammed. So I'll enjoy going there, watching a bunch of different games, chatting with people. But there has to be some sort of social activity, and it's got to be a bit low-key for me. I can't be standing there shoulder-to-shoulder watching a football game.
No, not with people you don't know. That's the worst thing. If someone was to tell me you got to go to a sports bar and watch the game on Monday night, I'd be like, that's my worst nightmare. Because now you're just dealing with a bunch of coconuts who you don't know that are just chiming in with their 2 cents. Oh, you should have thrown it. He was wide open. Or why aren't they doing this? You know, it's like, oh, God, I don't want to be beholden. I don't want to be dealing with that.
Well, like, I think this is also a good recommendation, too. It's like, is it cool to watch? I would never watch my team at a bar. And I rarely watch other games, too, because, yeah, eventually you run into the obnoxious fan. Like last year, so I was doing pregame show here, and one of my buddies for week one in Pittsburgh, which was, I think, a 10 a.m. kickoff, was down at, Polk and Broadway.
Greens.
Shanghai Kelly's.
Shanghai Kelly's. Okay. Greens is about three blocks.
Right, yeah, but Shanghai Kelly's is a Pittsburgh bar. I think it's also a Chicago bar. It has many affiliations. But there's a lot of Steelers fans there, and so it was a little not like home court for Niners fans. There was a lot of red and gold, but there was a ton of Steelers fans in there, and they're kind of taking it over. My friend and his family were one of them, so I popped by to, you know, have a Pacifico or six and then watch the game with them. And in the middle of the second quarter, as the Niners were just like running them out of the building, there's a couple Niners fans who sort of stumble in, you know, they're feeling pretty good, and they just start chirping behind the backs of all these Steelers fans. And it's like, you know, get out of our city and this, that, and the other. And why are you in San Francisco? But go back to Steel City. Your team sucks. I don't know. All this annoying and frustrating commentary when I'm just trying to sit up here and watch the Niners kick the Steelers' ass. I don't care who wins the game. But even when my team is not playing, I find it very hard to enjoy a bar setting.
You know what Shanghai Kelly's means? You know what Shanghai means, right?
Yeah.
You know, that was and why it sort of... It was probably
so their logo has a billy club
in San Francisco, especially in San Francisco being a port city. Like that's what happened at the turn of the century. People would literally get drugged Well, you would go into Shanghai Kelly's back in the day, in the 1800s, and you would get a beer, and the next thing you know, you wake up on a ship, the slow boat to China, and you're working for the next 8 months.
Well, is Shanghai Kelly a fictional character? I thought it was a real person.
No, it's a fictional character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the guy Kelly, I actually know. I know you're going to say.
So he's not a fictional character?
Oh, he is.
You said you know Kelly.
So that makes him fictional.
Nonfiction is real.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
He's a real person.
Who's on second?
No. Did I say he's a fictional character?
Yes.
No, he's nonfictional. This is a real person.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I'll be watching too many more games there, to be honest with you. But if you want to call in and let us know where you're watching Monday Night Football, I'll be down at Levi Stadium. But the viewing experience, it's taken me a while. Like, you as somebody that's watched a lot of games at the actual event, I feel like it takes some time to reacclimate to watching without the screen, without the commentary, without all the stats in front of you, and just watching a game and occasionally looking up at the scoreboard. That's been something that's taken me a while to get used to, because you kind of get lost in the flow of the game sometimes. And a lot of times I'll like to go, Dan, without looking at the scoreboard, because then it can sometimes either affirm or change, you know, your view of a particular player. Like, there's sometimes where I'm watching a running back, and it's like, damn, you know, McCaffrey's killing it. He's getting the rock quite a lot. And then you look up and you're like, oh, actually, he's only got 10 carries. You know, he hasn't been toting the rock as much as I thought. Or maybe there's a wide receiver who you feel like is just getting off, and they've got 8 catches for $1.20 in the first half, and you look up and they actually have 9 for $1.30. And it's like, wow, this guy's having a big game. So I do have to sort of, reacclimate myself to the live in-game viewing experience.
Are you in the box?
Yeah, I'll be in the box.
Okay.
But it's pretty soundproof, but I will say last year's NFC Championship game against Detroit, that was like you could hear the fans through the press the press box.
That's pretty loud.
Like, the glass is basically bulletproof, but it was vibrating, Levi Stadium. I've never seen a crowd that loud before.
You want to know when I go, the next 49er game that I'm going to?
What are you going to say, the 2025 Super Bowl or something?
No, it was when they come back to Candlestick Park and start playing in a real stadium.
Okay, can we be honest? I know there's a lot of history and, like, the place was a dump.
For the Giants, it was.
The place was a dump.
Not for the Niners.
That's like saying,
plus, it's within city limits. I'm not going to Santa Clara.
But that's like saying the Coliseum isn't a dump for the A's, but... Or, sorry, was a dump for the A's, or is a dump for the A's, but wasn't a dump for the Raiders. It's a dump.
I don't think it was that bad for the Raiders.
Ever been to...
That's after they built Mount Davis, you got everything you wanted.
Well, that's how they brought him back.
But I'm saying, for the stadium, it wasn't necessarily that bad for football. It worked. Candlestick wasn't state-of-the-art for football, but...
You've been to MetLife. Have you been to Allegiant? Have you been to SoFi?
I haven't been to either one of those, but I hear that. I get it.
That's a modern day NFL stadium.
Well, it's not so much the stadium, but rather I just don't want to go to Santa Clara, where there's absolutely, it's Levi Stadium, and then what? A couple of cows? Like, what are we doing out there? There's nothing happening. What's out there? A couple of techies running
around.
There's
no cows. There might be a lot of collared shirts like the one I'm wearing right now. But one thing did hit me when I was driving down last weekend. So I was, doing a broadcast or whatever. Boop. And as I was driving down, I got caught in traffic. And it hit me. The reason why I don't consider San Jose to be a part of the Bay Area, and I consider it to be just its own entity, is because driving through San Jose feels like you're driving through Los Angeles. It's all freeways. It's cluttered. It's a little more spread out, so you have a bunch of space, and there's some cool spots. Don't get me wrong. San Jose is a nice city. But it does feel a lot to me like driving around Los Angeles, and I personally don't like driving through L.A.
I think they would agree with you. Like, that would be the cutoff in terms of the Bay Area. Like, once you become a city unto itself and you have your own sports team, you're no longer part of anything else. You are an entity unto yourself. You're San Jose. You're not part of anything. You're not part of the Bay Area.
Well, I think it's its own area.
Yeah, well,
it's the third largest city in California.
Yeah, so it's not... Well, how do you define Bay Area? Is it proximity?
A lot of people, I think it's what touches the water. It's kind of a... I mean, it's a subjective geographic test. I consider San Jose its own place. You know, when I think of the Bay Area, I'll think about the peninsula up to San Francisco, North County a little bit, where the BART Bridge, of course, crosses, and the East Bay down through Fremont, out towards the water in the Delta, Vallejo, obviously, a little bit of the 707. That's kind of what I consider the Bay Area, but I'm not the end-all, be-all. You know, I think San Jose is San Jose, and it's just a very different feeling from the rest of the Bay Area. It doesn't mean it's bad. I enjoy it down there, and I feel like people move down there because you get a lot more space.
Could it support, because back in the day, they really wanted to make a run at the San Francisco Giants. Would that have worked?
At the Giants?
Or the A's?
Well, I think it would have worked for the A's, but to be fair, I was having this conversation with someone the other day. I understand why the Giants would want to block the A's from moving to San Jose. It's the largest city in the Northern California region. It's the third largest city behind San Diego and L.A. in the state. So naturally, if you have television rights, you're not going to give those up. And you would try and prevent your competition from moving to that market.
No, that makes sense.
Which, I mean, sucks for A's fans, but... shout out to 408, Xfinity Mobile Text Line. San Jose is the best Bay Area city. Also, Yard House in Santana Row has a great happy hour. Maybe we can get Dan DeVoe down there.
So Santana Row, that's sort of the new... I say new, but isn't that over the last 5 to 10 years? They sort of built that up?
Yeah, I think so. I've been down there once or twice. And look, this is the other thing, too. So San Francisco still gets to technically keep the 49ers. But do you consider that a San Jose or, I guess, Santa Clara team?
That's why I don't go out there.
You've never been to a Levi's Stadium game?
If they come back to Candlestick or if they want to, like, you know, they want to retrofit or build out Kezar again, then, you know, I'll do that. I'm not driving to a local team. Here it is. If you're a local team and you have San Francisco as your moniker, whether it's the Giants or the 49ers, you shouldn't have to drive more than 20 minutes from your house to get to that stadium. Otherwise, they're not local.
Oh, it appears I've pissed a few people off. Ken, did somebody call in
from
San Jose?
Yeah, we got a call from George in San Jose.
I'm sorry.
No, San Jose touches part of the San Francisco Peninsula. So, yeah, I told him, I was like, I think you're being a little facetious, just a little playful.
Obviously, yeah, it's all part of the bit. My point is, growing up in the East Bay, it felt like a different, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Save me, Dan.
Hey, Dan, quick point here. What about MetLife? They're New York Jets and New York Giants.
They stink too.
They're in New Jersey.
That never made sense as well.
It doesn't, but it's actually a great setup. Because
where are you
going to
build the stadium in New York City?
Well, they used to play Yankee Stadium.
Used to play at the Polo Grounds, too.
Yeah, and then they tore that down in the 50s. What happened to Ebbets Field? You want to build a stadium there, too?
But MetLife is a nice, nice stadium.
Maybe out in Queens.
It's in a good area. I think Philly has probably the best setup because they're right off the highway, and it's all four stadiums. To your point, though, Santa Clara... I don't understand why they built it there, because you're in a residential area and you're pigeonholed and the parking stinks, and now they're going to force people not to tailgate unless you are in a single file line and you all do it together.
So after the game, let's say the three of us want to go get a meal and a beer. Can you do that there?
In San Jose? Well, you can do that anywhere.
A game in Santa Clara.
Yeah, you just have to... So, again, this is why it feels like L.A. to me driving around, because in order to get anywhere, you have to drive. Now, I think they have a tram and Caltrain you can move between, but, yeah, like, you can't take public transportation in San Jose and be comfortable just whipping around the city.
I mean, Santa Clara, after a game.
Well, Santa Clara is adjacent to San Jose, but yeah.
See, then you just lost me.
Oh, this is Santa Clara, Campbell, San Jose. See, I got knowledge, all right? They all got different neighborhoods down there. It's the South Bay. Yeah, I know. You struck a chord with the 408. And the parking is probably the least fun part about going to a 49ers game. But if you get there early enough and leave late enough, then you can kind of avoid it. It's just a free-for-all.
You get a press pass, right?
Yeah, but all right, so this is my thing. Anytime you put And I didn't go to a ton of games at Candlestick. When I did, I was a kid, so I didn't have much knowledge of how to get in and out. But when you put 50 to 65,000 people in one place at the same time, there's going to be parking issues. There's going to be a long line to get out of a singular location. I mean, every single football stadium I've been to, it might not be as bad as Levi's, but it's pretty bad. I mean, and no matter where you are, even a baseball stadium like Seattle, you're parking in downtown, it's a B to get out of that place because there's no designated parking lot. You're either on the street or you're in a parking garage or you're huddled in a little makeshift lot. Everything sucks to get out of.
So I think I mentioned this earlier. I have to be very careful. My soon-to-be niece is at Notre Dame, her freshman year.
Don't jinx it.
So you going to Notre Dame games in the afternoon or in the evening, which is in South Bend. Usually you go to Chicago, you hang out in Chicago. It's about an hour and 45 minutes out to South Bend. Leaving that stadium after a game, good luck. Or going there and trying to park, good luck. Once you get there, there's a reason why the RVs pull up on a Wednesday for a Saturday game.
Yeah, like I went to the Stanford home opener last Friday, and I didn't park anywhere near the campus. I mean, I'd rather walk 15, 20 minutes, even 30 minutes sometimes. I'd rather walk a mile plus to get to the tailgate than actually park inside the tailgate and wait 45 minutes to get in and out. And that's for a Stanford game.
What's the worst, Dodger Stadium or what you guys suggested?
Well, I've never been to Dodger Stadium, but that was
horrendous.
I've heard pretty bad.
It's bad. It's one way in, one way out. And if you're on the one side, I believe the west side of it, you have to go all the way around the stadium to get out of it.
Well, they deserve that because, I mean, they basically built it on the souls of a lot of people that they had to remove.
You know, when they opened Dodger Stadium, there were no water fountains? Because they wanted people obviously purchasing their sodas and beers.
It's like that's illegal.
Well, this is back in the day with Walter O'Malley and company.
If you walk into a restaurant now, they cannot deny you a cup of water. It's like not offering a water fountain is...
Which is why
Satanist.
I think the eighth wonder of the world, the greatest stadium, arena...
Wait. The Coliseum.
It's the Garden.
Okay.
The Garden in New York.
The Boston Garden?
On 34th Ave. I mean, it's like it's you walk there or you take the train.
Ken's a Knicks fan, by the way. Why are you trying to stroke him?
It's Penn Station. If you're at a Penn Station, it's where all the trains meet. Like, it's just...
Yeah, it's in Pennsylvania.
It's like imagine a stadium being built on top of BART, like of a BART hub. Like, you could just... Everything sort of like funnels there in terms of
like if Oracle Park was on top of the Civic Center.
Mass transportation just funnels there. Not to mention it's in the heart of the city, so everybody walks or takes a cab or takes whatever.
There's rumblings though, Dan. There's rumblings that it could be moving.
That'll never happen.
MSG?
It's moved before many times in its history. Just saying.
MSG?
Speaking of, like, you know, he liked to find depth in sporting events.
Monosaturated glue. I don't know.
So. Only CeCe could point this out. There used to be this art piece on the top of Madison Square Garden. I forget the name of it. We got to look it up. The art structure that was on top of Madison Square Garden. Because we were at the Museum of, Museum of Modern Art? No, we were at the Met. And she pointed, and I just said, oh my God, that's really stunning.
Well, it sounds memorable.
And she said, that used to be on top of Madison Square Garden. Like, and I'm like, and it's this beautiful piece at the Met. Like, that's first of all what you get when you find the right spouse and or girlfriend in your case.
Which, by the way, well, yeah, I'm still looking. By the way, there was Louvre slander on this station a little less than 24 hours ago. I'm not going to say which host talked about not, quote, getting the Louvre. Figure it out, buddy. I'm sorry. I can't help you. It is not important just because...
Wait, I mean, not getting what I don't understand.
Like, they went to the Louvre and they're like, what's so special about this place? Oh. I mean, like, I seriously can't help you. That might be the definition of uncultured. Because it's not just important historic because someone said it is. It is because there are relics of ancient and modern history across all of civilization that lie in that place. Now, there is reason to wonder how it has all, you know, kind of been gathered and held in this place, because, you know, the French were raiders and colonists and all the rest. But the fact of the matter remains, the Louvre is not overrated, and the Louvre is not something that you should not get. That's on you.
Yeah, but I don't pass judgment on anybody. If they're not feeling it, they're not feeling it. It's like I go to the opera, and you feel like, oh, it's the opera. It's the New York City Opera House. Like, you should feel as though, okay, like a highbrow, enjoy it. I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm falling asleep within 20 minutes.
CeCe, can we please get this man some... no, I'm just
beer and a portable television.
Look, my final remark of the day is I'd like to apologize sincerely. It was a joke. San Jose,
apologizing to
San Jose, they are a part of the Bay. I just
see. I go Ray Ratto, man. I don't even have the message screen up. I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, that's because you didn't ask me today. Usually, I set it up for you.
That's true. But I am on YouTube, thanks to Ken.
There you
set that up for me.
Well, next Saturday we'll be right here, same place, same time, 9 to noon. Saturdays on 95.7 The Game with Evan Giddings and Dan Devone. Dan, it's been real, man. I look forward to...
Maybe we'll talk a little sports next week.
Yeah, well, all right. First of all, can you not bend my ear about River Otters when we get off the air in 5 minutes? How about that?
I'll have something random for you, though.
I'll tell you about St. Mary's taking on UC Davis in volleyball later on today. But in the meantime, big thank you to Ken Luttrell, our producer here. Big thank you to all of you listening around the Bay Area, yes, including San Jose, right here on your home for the Warriors. And as of next week... The Niners got action. Week 1, Monday night. Look forward to reacting to that. Coming up, we'll also have Overtime with Mark Grandy, Sterling Bennett, and Kyle Madsen. That'll be after the game. But, of course, we'll be going to be live in Santa Clara at the Hilton on Monday, middays and afternoons, all right here on 95.7 The Game. Take it easy, everyone. I don't know Taylor Swift. I don't know Travis Kelce, and neither do you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.